So, as mentioned already, three times, this is a rebroadcast. I took this off Y Torah yesterday, this year, because of the potential controversy in it. And I've been thinking about this overnight, and I said, you know what? It's something important for it to be on Y Torah. You know, the nine people are going to listen to it, but I think it's very important because 2 years ago, an incident happened with someone by the name of Shalom Rabachkin. And I want to speak about it and speak about what our response should be to that. And it's a general class, this class on business ethics, and it's a general class to understand what it is. So yesterday I did this. I don't want to take away the schus of my grandfather. I dedicated this year for my grandfather's Yitzchak, Yaakov Yitzchak ben Nachman Dov. And I pointed out he got a lot of press. I dedicated a lot of shirim. It happens to me that my other grandparents' Yitzchaks are during the summer where I don't give as many shirim. But he's also someone that's certainly on my mind always as a model Jew. Yesterday we had the horrible attack, which it turned out to be an attack on the Jewish people in Jersey City. And unfortunately, videos came out last night, I'm sure you probably know about this, of African-American people saying, oh, I'm so happy that these people were shot and killed. They're taking our homes away. Oh, those Jews, it's horrible. And this was on regular news. It's a very, very scary time. And the fact that these wonderful Satmar Hasidim, the two people who died, really Mamash L'Kiddush Hashem, and a third a clerk that was working there, and of course we can't forget about Detective Seals, the officer who risked his life. And it's a very, very scary time. And when I thought about the Satmar Hasidim, I thought about my grandfather telling me about, my grandfather was one of the really architects of education and Jewish education. He helped out the Satmar Rebbe in getting grants, worked on the governor's committee. He was one of the founders of what Yeshiva University is today. He was the first Orthodox, maybe the only president of a secular university. He founded was the founding president of Kingsborough Community College, and someone that I try to emulate in his ways. Shalom Rabachkin was the CEO of now bankrupt Agri Processors, and as I pointed out to you a few minutes ago, I have firsthand knowledge. So this isn't, there's a lot of hearsay that's going around about this case, and that's kind of where the controversy is going to come up. And it's now a bankrupt slaughterhouse that was in Pottsville, Iowa, which his father actually originally founded, Aaron Rabachkin. His father, when we talk about this whole story, avoided any problems or any issue. So here's the story in short. November 2009, Rabachkin was convicted on, are you ready for this, 86 counts of financial fraud, including bank fraud, mail and wire fraud, money laundering. In 2010, there was a separate trial, and at the 2009 trial, he shockingly received an unjust 27 years in prison. The reason why I say it's unjust is that I am not a lawyer. I don't plan to be a lawyer. I actually wanted to be a lawyer when I Maishana Aleph. Yeah, I'll take your question. Sure.
Was this the tax fraud, right?
It was a lot of different fraud. I'm going to explain the fraud that I know about firsthand. I just wanted to point out, just so we give the full, so that you understand where I'm coming from. I have no question in my mind that 27 years is unjust. Plenty of attorney generals of the state of the United States of America, senators, congressmen, smart lawyers, Alan Dershowitz, said that this is done specifically because he was a Jew. And unfortunately, what's horrible about this is that the actual judge that sat on this case and gave him the 27 years was the same judge who was involved in the raid that went to his place. There's no question about it that that is Nogea Badover, as we say in Hebrew, the Gemara's term of, you're not allowed to do that. It's totally illegal. And therefore, a retrial should have been done. But overall, what I must point out is that he definitely did things that were wrong. I do want to point out that in 2011, in a separate case, he was acquitted of knowingly hiring underage workers. He served his prison term in Federal Corrections Institution in Otisville, Mount Hope, New York. And in July 2011, September 2011, appeals in court were ruled against Rabotchkin. U.S. Supreme Court refused to hear his case in 2012 on the basis of there being a lot of illegal activity there, a lot of emails that they found about police officers, things like that, talking to the judge, totally not allowed. And the Nissim v'Nefilois on December 20th, 2017, Zois Chanukah, the eighth day of Chanukah, 2 years ago, asserting a large bipartisan push for the measure of the President Donald Trump, obviously the Chvoido V'Atzmo, who is very flawed in many of the words that he says, but has done such amazing things for the Jewish people, and we can't forget that, commuted Rabotchkin's prison sentence after 8 years as time served. He pointed out there that this is not a pardon, it's being commuted. He thinks the time served was just. He deserved to do the time served, but sees that there was some sort of form of travesty of justice. What I would like to discuss is more along the lines of the reaction after he gets out of jail on Zois Chanukah. A side point, I don't know if this is true, but it's reported as true, about the story you heard about this Make-A-Wish Foundation. You know this wonderful organization? So they go to a girl, Nebuch, who was suffering from cancer. Later on, her aunt was interviewed and said that this wasn't exactly what happened. She was in terminal cancer. But anyway, they granted her one wish. And normally, as you know, Disneyland, stuff of the nature. She was a Chabad Chassid, which Shel Mordechai is. And she said, I have one request. I have a letter that needs to go to the President of the United States. Not normally what a young child would request. They're like, how about Disneyland? Want to see Mickey Mouse? They're like, no, this is what I want. And they figured out how to get the letter to the right people. And as they say, Jared Kushner saw it and brought it to the president, as yesterday was the, it always bothers me, but the Hanukkah lighting was yesterday, because they don't do it exactly at the right time. I think last year actually it was on Hanukkah itself, because the rabbi of Chabad actually made the brachas. This was obviously far before, but it's a beautiful gathering and a difficult gathering when everything that's going on. But at that gathering, he signed a very important, what wants to come into law on college campuses, that we should be protected, the Jewish people should be more protected. Alan Dershowitz said this is one of the greatest things that a president has done. He said, in all the years I've been teaching on college campuses, a long time he's been teaching on college campuses, he says this was the greatest act that any president has ever done. And he is critical of President Trump, but he has to, you know, call it out the way that it is. And but the reaction, so that you understand. Anyway, this girl, the girl, so he gets the letter on Zois Chanukah, and he knew about the case already because everybody had been bothering about it. And he says, all right, let's do a Chanukah miracle, Trump says, because he's very into the Chanukah miracle. And he called the prison and said, let him out. Okay, whether the story is true or not, I don't know, but it's a good story to tell if you want to hype up some Shana Aleph guys and say, you see, God is in our presence all the time, man! And then everybody goes out, you know, and puts filling on for the rest of the day. Okay, so the reaction was is that when he got out of upstate New York, first of all, he didn't believe that this was true. When the warden called for him, he thought it was a joke, because literally, I think the day before, he had received a letter from the court that another appeal was denied. But he said, just in case, he took with him his tefillin, his tanya. That's a law in Chabad Hasidus. You always have to carry your tanya with you. And Chovas Lavavos. And they actually did let him out of jail. And he went to the first rest stop a few minutes in. And all these Satmar Hasidim, who are in upstate New York, were there to greet him, which is a great sign of unity, because Chabad and Satmar do not get along with each other, as Hasidus goes. Not important for now. And then he goes to the 770 Crown Heights area, and there are parties like you wouldn't believe. I mean, it was unbelievable. I like to tell the story like this. I made this up, but I think it's funny. We know that the flask of oil that was supposed to last for one day lasted for 8 days. However, in Chabad, on that night of Zois Chanukah, 8 days of alcohol lasted but one night. And they were partying. There was a video of a guy from a liquor store with a truck, and all he just kept. They go, keep it going, whatever you got, whatever you got. It was amazing. It was a celebration. Many people woke up that night because they were awoken by this celebration. I know in Crown Heights there's not only Jewish people. This might be a surprise to you. And they looked up, who is this Rabotchkin guy? And maybe they searched for it like I did, and they said, wait a minute, I still think he did things wrong. What's going on over here? Why are the Jews celebrating it? That doesn't seem to be right. So that's problem number one that I have. Problem number two, and my biggest problem I have, is that Shaul Mordechai is going around now the world speaking. My wife actually just told me yesterday, her friend, one of her coworkers, was at a bris in Gimel, right here, yesterday or 2 days ago, and they welcomed a special guest, Shaul Mordechai, who is their cousin, and was speaking here in Eretz Yisrael. So what is he speaking about? He's speaking about, as the song goes by Yaakov Shweki, Aleph Beis Gimel. Aleph! Emuna, Beis, Bitochon, and Gimel Geula. It's the first thing that he said when he got out of jail, when everybody was talking to him. And the claim, which is a correct claim, is that he didn't deserve to be in jail for that long. He had tremendous Emuna that Hashem would have let him out, and Yeshua Hashem carried it happened, and he got out. What problem do I have with this? You did things that were wrong. There's no Shaila in the world about that. Okay? Yes, I actually gave a lesson from the lathe, and I spoke about this, and I received some hate mail. I admit that. And some people wrote me and said it. One woman said, I'll never listen to any of Shurim again, because how dare you write something against a Jew like this? He did nothing wrong. Another person, I assume was a Chabad Chassid, sent me links to different Shurim given in Chabad by a distinguished rabbi who explained why he did nothing wrong. So I find that to be blatantly untrue. It is not true at all. Because I am in the business now, and I know stories from people that I spoke to. Money laundering, yes, check. He did that wrong. Bank fraud, check. And again, I don't want to go, because it's Y.U. Torah, I don't want to go into the specifics. Maybe after, I will tell you. But I know of cases that actually happened to the company I work for now that was considered to be bank fraud. Okay. Besides the Dateline, they did an expose on it. Dateline is a show on NBC that is not just what you guys probably watch, your favorite show, To Catch a Predator. But besides that, they also do exclusives on this. And they did this, and people said it was anti-Semitic and so on and so forth. There's a lot there. Before this happened, years before, he was fined many times for animal endangerment and all these things and workers not being... That's true. But here's something that clearly there was something awry, there was something wrong. If you're going to go around now and you're going to speak about Emuna Bitachon and say, I wasn't as honest as I should have been, and let's talk about that, I think he's one of the greatest speakers to ever live. For a speaker to come up and say, here's the challenge that I faced, the Yetzirah that I faced, and I overcame it, and I went to jail, and therefore I did tshuva for this, I have nothing to say. But when you go to England, and I heard this lecture that he gave, and all you speak about is Emuna Bitachon from the Goyim, and yes, it's true that it was unjust, but I don't see how it being unjust takes away everything he did. Nobody ever went to jail for bank fraud? That's what the people say, is that, you know, because of that, so everything cancels out, because he should have served, you know, only 6-7 years in prison, and not 27 years, and therefore the whole thing... I don't understand why it goes like that, and I'm a little bit concerned about that. So let me give out the sheets now. And while I'm giving out the sheets, tell you something very, very interesting. And that is that in, as I pointed out, there are not a lot of shurim that are on this topic. I think people are, I don't know if they're scared, I don't know what it is. Rav Schechter, I heard a shir from Rav Schechter about this. He was speaking about Mesira, about telling on people, and about the topic of, is a person... what is considered to be Pidyon Shvuyim. Does anybody here know what Pidyon Shvuyim is? Pidyon Shvuyim?
Redeeming
captives. My father correctly pointed out a good example of that. Anybody know? The story, there's a book here called, right? The Maharam Rutenberg sat in jail because he was a Jew. They took him because he was a Jew. No other reason. Do you need more sheets? Anybody need more sheets? We're good? Do you want a sheet? Good. So the Maharam Rutenberg was taken. There's no reason. I pluck a Jew out of it. Obviously, the Nazis would do it and say, oh, your nose is crooked. You have to pay the extra tax. Now sit in jail unless somebody's going to ransom you for $5 million. He died in jail, if I'm not mistaken, because he refused to let his town ransom him because he said that then they're going to ransom everyone. That is a real pidyon shvuyim. Rav Schechter argues that because the prison system is so backwards. Now, it's interesting. If I'm not mistaken, he was in federal prison. Rav Schechter says, well, the federal prisons are generally pretty good, unfortunately, he says, this is Rav Schechter's words, but it's true. He goes, you know, you can't complain about prison when you have Dafayomi every morning and a Nusach Askaraj and a Nusach Svar Dominion. Nebuch, this is not just in Eretz Yisrael, this is quite common. In Eretz Yisrael, they have prisons, and Eretz Yisrael is very interesting prisons. People that go to jail for white-collar crimes, they actually sometimes let them out of jail for the weekend for, like, their family's bar mitzvah or bris. It's common. I don't know if you ever saw Shpizun. But that happened. That's actually a real story. That happens in Israel. Again, not if they're murderers or, you know, rapists, God forbid. That would never happen. But you can't tell me in a prison that's like a country club, oh my God, it's overly. That's the way the world is. Now, so Rav Schechter's taina is, number one, he was in state prison, which I don't believe he was, but, and there, they're not just, there are stories about Nebuch, you know, the warden and his people, as the movies we saw, beating up these people for no reason, and just because he was Jewish, getting a problem with the cellmate and different things. If that's really true, so that's unjust, and therefore that's called pinyon shuvim. And Rabbi Ari Leibowitz quotes Rav Schechter, it's considered pinyon shuvim. I'm nobody. I'm mamish tipa ba'ofer. I'm a nothing. But I think that that is a misinterpretation of what's going on over here, and it actually very much hurts me based on the source number one that we'll do in a moment. Yes, sir.
I know about a called Allentown. I forgot the name.
Yeah.
That specifically is a known prison in the United States for being predominantly Jewish.
Yep.
Most religious Jews who get incarcerated go there. You know, they have like kosher meals, they have Shabbos Inanim, they have Shiurim. It's like a very, very good place for Jews. I'm just like,
right. So, 100%. It's a very fair point. I don't want to say this, but Rav Schechter says it, so I guess I could say it. It's very offensive, but he said that a Hasidic Rebbe unfortunately went to jail for whatever he did. And he was bemoaning the fact that in his prison, they didn't have his nusach of tefillah. He had a daven Ashkenaz every day. And he says, Baruch Hashem, finally there were enough chassidim who were in jail that they could start their own nusach svar dominion. So that's crazy, right? I mean, that's what you're happy about. That's crazy. So question number one, source number one comes from a savior called Va'alei Lo Yuval, one of my classic svarim. I actually got a few guys as we went through the week to look at the Sefer. They said they want to buy it because it's actually a very good Sefer for Shana Aleph to look at because it's easy Hebrew and it's quick questions that were asked by the Gadol Hador, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was one of the greatest of Gedolim, and I had this chus of meeting him, and what really made him so special is that he was colorblind, which meant he didn't see anybody for the payas or this or that or where they looked. He didn't care. He was not part of a political party. He was known to be one of the gedolim that was, besides just being sweet and caring about everyone, there were so many stories about a woman coming and complaining or whatever it might be, and he cried together with her. It's just so beautiful. And more than that, the research that he did in any Shaila scientist, Dr. Steinberg tells over, it's truly amazing. But when he passed away, I believe it was 1995, a gentleman wrote a sefer. And in the Sefer, he did question and answers that, you know, people go to a Rebbe and they ask a question. I don't know if he was under the table. And he wrote down the question and answers. And the reason why I love the Sefer is because it has a haskama. You know what haskamas are? In the beginning of the Sefer, you know, Daniel Hartstein writes his new Sefer called Lessons from the Lave. And nobody knows who he is. But you know what? They see on the first page, Reboaz Maori. Wow, the Rosh Hashiva of Leva Toira. He says, Rabbi Hartstein is Muflag Mufuar Bilchol Loshoin. And he's the greatest. Okay, and he said, well, I'm going to buy the Sefer now. So in this Sefer, this is a modern Sefer, it says two haskamas from the sons of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. And on the top it says, do not write the Sefer. Please don't publish the Sefer. I think that's the greatest one. And he put it in. And he writes on the top, I want to show you that they didn't want me to write it. Why didn't they write it? They think it was not fair. Sometimes when you ask a rabbi a question, he will answer you and say, this question is only for you. I had a great discussion 2 days ago with the two great, all the rabbis here are great. Except some. But no, they're all great. But I was sitting with Rav Bagno and Rav Odessa, the Rosh Koilo, and Rav Odessa's a Dayan. And we were talking about different things. We were talking about the McDonald's. It's not for now. I probably will give a shiur on it. The McDonald's that's open on Shabbos and kosher in the airport. We were speaking about that. Anyway, we were talking about different shilas and so on and so forth. And Rav Odessa pointed out that he once gave a psak in Hilchos Nida, a very complicated shila, and he said, this is for you, only for you. Don't publicize it because it's not for anybody else because of the situation you're in. And if you tell anybody this is my psak, I'll deny it. How can you say that? It's true. I went to Rav Aaron Soloveitchik once, and I asked him a very difficult question. And Rav Aaron said, this psak is for you, for tomorrow's thing that you have to do it. But that's it. It's not a psak you could use for everyone. Don't tell anybody about it. That's what a poisik is. It's for an individual understanding. As Rav Aharon Soloveitchik would say, logic of the mind and logic of the heart. The Kohen God that wore the Ketzos HaChoshen and that sits on his head. You need to have mind and heart combined. By the way, not for now. What Esav didn't have. That's why Esav's head is buried in Ma'aseh Machpelah, only his head, because his mind and his mouth spoke all the stuff, but his heart wasn't in the game. Weiter. So this Sefer was published, and this question I happen to know to be true, and I will explain to you why after we discuss it. Here we go! Source number one. Shalti Yisarav, Bekesher LeYehudi SheGonav Schumei Kesef Gadol. A Jew stole a lot of money. The result of that, Nitfas Alidei HaMishtara BeArtzot HaBrit. The Popo was able to capture him in America. V'nidon B'Kamishot Masar. Now he's being judged. He's sitting in jail now for a number of years in prison in America. Should we collect money for his defense? We're talking about $200,000. Bishvil mitzvahs pidyon shvuyim lahotzi mikela. Anybody have any questions on this question? Yeah?
Does this include bail?
Oh, anything. Does anybody think that this maybe may not be a case of pidyon shvuyim? Yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
He did something wrong in the States. He ran away. They caught him. They brought him back. Why are we trying to redeem him? Why do we need to redeem him?
Awesome. Says Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, every word that I'm saying now, look inside, is golden. Golden. Golden, Rabbi Yisai. Mashma, so, Kishishama HaRabbit said, you know what he said? Pidyon shvuyim? Question mark, exclamation point. What did you just say? Maze pidyon shvuyim. What is this pidyon shvuyim? Pidyon shvuyim is a kasher agoyim, toys this Yehudi stop. Hey, crooked nose person, come here. I'm putting you in jail. You don't have crooked nose. Everybody knows the new law. It was just passed. Lo l'siba mutsukaka. There's no reason for it. I just made up a law. Umachnisimo to the Beit HaSora. Right? We just said. Marami Rittenberg. What I understand, I'm not from America, says Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach, but what I understand from America, even in Muncie, lo toifim stam kol yudi. We don't just arrest people to get money out of them. Hare hatoyer omeres lo tikno. Oh, by the way, the Torah says, don't steal. Who God of Kesef? Adarama, my favorite line. The opposite. Tov sheyishev. He should sit in jail. Why? The Kelavi Limud, and they will teach him the yisod of not stealing. By the way, says Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Omnam harav hoisiv yomer she'im roitzim loisiv kesef b'shil ha'isha b'yiladim, nefach his family, they didn't do anything wrong. That's totally mutter. And then all the way in the bottom it says, Shemati me, Rav Yehuda Goldreich. I saw this and I said, wait a minute. There was a woman that used to work here. Do you remember Binyamin? She was in the office. Her name was Daphne Goldreich. Very similar name. I said, Daphne Goldreich, do you know this gentleman, Yehuda? She says, I know him quite well. I'm married to him. Dun, 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 dun. And I called Yehuda and I said, is the story true? He says, yeah, I'll tell you the story. Anybody from Canada here? Nobody? Oui. Wow. Okay. So comes along Yehuda Goldreich, and he says to me, I was a bacher learning at Yeshiva's Kol Torah. Kol Torah is the Yeshiva, Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach Yeshiva, and my father called me. My father was the Gabe Stucka. He was in charge of Stucka distribution for a gentleman by the name of Reichman, one of the richest Jews in the world, who lives in Canada. And these people, this was the question. They came to Reichman and said, we want $200,000 from you. And this is the answer Rosh Hashanah Zalman Auerbach gave. And Zell. So the Chvoid HaRav Shechter says that it was Pidyon Shvuyim because he was being overly... Again, the step that we are making from that he was 100%, no doubt in my mind. I don't like Rabbi Leewood says, I can't say this is a fact, but it's as close as a fact you can get if everybody signs letters who are smart and know about this and say this was an unjust punishment. But I don't know if that's considered to be Pidyon Shvuyim, because he does deserve to sit in jail for a certain amount of time, and then afterwards you have to determine whether it's Pidyon Shvuyim. I get that. The yisod of what I want to discuss, I don't want to be, is all about Rabbi, it's not, but it's about being honest in business. And what bothers me, Rabbi Yisai, to no end, is that if I was to do a poll, which I will not, in this room, I bet everybody here knows of one person who sat in jail for some sort of fraud. A Jewish person, a frum person, maybe somebody who is a chazan in the shul, gets a liuz in the shul, maybe it was chasen Torah. This is what you do. Oh, that guy in the back of the show. Oh, wow, he's so rich. You know that guy? He sits in the Mizrachvant. He sits all the way in the front. Yeah, he went to jail for 2 years. You know, they got to do that. He went to the country club, they call it, for a few years. And you're giving him a... Now, don't get me wrong, Einachanami, please listen very carefully. We believe in tshuva. That's the yisod of our religion. And 100% a person can do tshuva. I believe in that wholeheartedly. If I don't believe, I got a big problem if I don't believe in tshuva. I believe in tshuva. But you got to have remorse. Rambam's yisod of tshuva. I did something wrong. These people, I don't think I did anything wrong. Comes along the next source, Yeshayahu, Hanavi, and the Haftorah for, I believe the Haftorah for Shabbos Chazon, and says, Eicha, we love Eicha, that's why you got to do it. Eicha haita lizona. Alas, you've become a harlot. The city of Yerushalayim we're talking about. What does that mean? Why? Lizoina kriya ne'amana, milti mishpat tzedek yalimba, v'ata mitzarchim. My faithful city of Jerusalem that was filled with justice. Where are the righteous dwelt? Where? What happened? Now you're murderers. The psukim continue and says, Kaspecha hayu l'sigim. Your silver has turned to dross. Anyone know what dross is?
Not valuable.
Not valuable. It's nothing to me. As one Rosh Hashira put it, it's cucky. It's worthless. It's worthless. It's not worth. Hey, now you woke up. Good. It's not worth anything. Sarecha, your rulers, Sarerim, they're rouges, and the Ganavim, they're robbers. Ayiv Shoychad, your wine has been cut with water. What is going on over here? Why is God so mad at us that he wants to destroy our city and call us a harlot, the city of harlot? Says the Radak, I'll tell you what we did wrong. Oisim ba madbeya sheker. We counterfeited money. Choshim b'nei adam ki kulu kesef, the way money used to work. This week's parasha, parashas Vayishlach. Yaakov Avinu comes to Shechem and he talks to them about business. And he says, you know, I'm the richest guy in the world. There's a thing called money I invented. What you do is, instead of exchanging your chickens and your ducks and whatever you're using, you do this thing called money. And I'm going to give you a silver dollar, which is $1 worth of silver. Whatever. A quarter ounce of this is a quarter, huh? That's the way money used to be. Then we've, you know, made a joke of it and make it all out of metal, and the penny costs more to produce than it's worth. Okay, I get it. But that's the way it used to be. Heroes in the times of the base of England, you know what they were doing? They were faking it. They weren't using 925 silver. They were using fake silver, plated silver. Right? Here in Eretz Yisrael, they have a very cool thing. They don't trust us. We're a Jewish country, so we know all the tricks. It's hard to get a mortgage here because they figure everything out. There's no mortgage crisis here because we think of everything. So when you get insurance on your house, as opposed to, you know, in America, you get insurance on your house, so they do a round range, $1.5 million. That's what you get. And if you have a Nebuch robbery, you tell them what you were missing and they pay you. Not in Israel. You have to show them everything you have in your house. Right? So you have to bring down, so a guy comes, he's an assessor, and he says, bring me jeweler, and I will, so if you gossip that you get robbed, you only will get back those things. If you forgot something, you can't find your chassan watch or whatever, you're not going to get it. Fine. So the guy comes to my house and he's going through everything, and I wasn't 100% sure about everything. With Baruch Hashem, we have a nice collection of silver. I inherited some of it, and my mother bought us a lot of some cases and things like that. And one of the things he found, he goes, "Slicha, I have to tell you, this isn't real." I'm like, "Oh yeah, that's the plate I got from some rabbi once. I understand it was a, it's fine." He goes, "Lah." So he tells me a story. He goes, "You know, I was at somebody else's house. A terrible story." He said it was a diamond bracelet that he bought his wife for whatever, the 25th wedding anniversary. And I said to the guy, I whispered to him, "You know, this is fake." He's like, "Yeah, please don't tell my wife. I'm begging you. Don't tell my wife. Excuse me, screw you." Whatever. He's like, "Okay, I'm going to stand everything. Okay, you know, like, okay." So this is what's happening over here. Right? They're doing fake stuff. But people found out about it. And says further, says the Radak, V'chein moichim yayin chashuvim ha'konim behem, konim yayin chay, umarvim b'mayim. They bought fancy bottles. It looked like it was fancy schmancy. And they put in Trader Joe's Moscato or Trader Joe's box of wine for $5 and poured it in. And everybody thought, we're getting fancy wine here. Rav Zilberstein has a great question on that. Where a guy, Nebuch, lost all of his money and he does this huge suda for everyone for Purim. And that year he has no money. But he saved all the bottles. So he says, "Can I do this? I always did." And anyway, they're going to be half drunk when they come to me for the Purim suda anyway. And he says, no, it's still considered to be Gnevas Das. You're still not allowed to do that. Even though it's your house, you know, very interesting.
But he's not selling it.
Right. He says, it's still Gnevas Das. Stealing someone's mind is still something that's also, even if you're not going to be doing anything, even if you're not going to, even if I come to you and go, hey, look at this guy. How you doing, my buddy? And then you leave and I go, loser, that guy. Still not allowed to do that. You don't lose anything from what I just said. It's not nice. I can't do that. So the Radak already points out to us that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be an unfaithful city because we are dishonest in our business dealings. And now Rabbeisai, source 4, 5, and 6 are the sources that you're going to take with you in your pocket. These are what I call pocket sources. Because somebody's going to say to you, hey, you're a Shana Aleph guy. Give me a Dvar Torah. You're going to be like, abed, 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 abed. What's the 6th parasha? Don't do that. So take this Dvar Torah with you. Listen carefully because I'm going to test you now. I'm going to ask you a question. I want a good answer. And I have something horrible to say to you. I did this in the first class. So if you don't remember this, I'm not surprised. Okay. First Gemara. Listen carefully. Gemara in Shabbos. Lamed Aleph. Omer Rav. B'shasha minichas maladim. Oh my God, I'm giving you the answers to the test. I'm telling you what's happening. In 120 years, when you go up to Shemayim, some of you... Okay, whatever. Ladin, Omer, Tuesday nights, don't go out. Don't go out. You might go to the, quicker. Okay, Omer. They ask the following questions. I'm telling you the questions they're going to ask. Come on. These are the questions on the test. Oh, now everybody's perking up and writing it down. Oh, okay, yeah. Number one, Nasat v'nasat be'amuna. Were you honest in your business dealings? Question number two, Kavei itin l'tayru. Did you set aside time for learning? Question three, Asakta b'piru rivya. Mm-hmm. Right? Sipita le Yeshua. Palta bechachma. What's the first question, guys? Second question? Not going to three. Okay. Gemara source number 5 is the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Zayin. Ki Rav Hunai, Dama Rav Hunai, Ain't Tichlis Tino Shel Adam, Ela Devei Taira. What's the first question God's going to ask you? Did you learn Taira? What's the Machlekes?
First one was business.
Second one was sorry. Which one is it? Is it business or Taira? What's the first one? What do you think the answer is? Anybody want to tell me? No, I need better. But what does this mean? It is the same thing, but no. Okay, I want more. Yes.
Torahs are moral compass, and hence, if you believe in the Torah, you will follow its mitzvahs. You won't be dishonest in business dealings.
And what if you are dishonest in business dealing?
You didn't learn Torah.
I'll tell you something funny. I asked this question to the people of our wonderful yeshiva. I got the greatest answer I ever gotten in all my years teaching. The Gemara number one is for modern Orthodox people who work, and the second Gemara is for koilel guys who don't work. No. That's not. It's a good answer. It was cute, but that's not the answer. Yes, sir.
Is it that?
Yes.
We didn't learn Torah, and therefore we were bad in. Is it that not learning Torah affects our business dealings, or that we didn't? Internalize Torah.
Thank you for the segue. Source number 6. I'll explain to you what I'm trying to get at. The El Yerabba, one of the great sources of halacha, says, Shailim Oysa B'tchilas Dinai. The Gemara asked Shabbos about Divrei Torah. But the other Gemara asked that, which one is it? Says the El Yerabba, I heard Mizikni HaRosh from the greatest rabbi of all rabbis. The Rosh says, if your business dealings are not honest, ready? Limudo hu chilul Hashem. Your Torah learning is worthless. What do you think? You're so hot, you guys? Because you went to davening today at 8 o'clock, probably showed up at 8:05 or 8:06 or 8:12 or 8:22. I got there at Elaine already. I got there at Ashrei, and I always say, which Ashrei? Right? I got there. You think you're so from? You're shuckling with your yarmulke on and your payas and your payas or your tzitzis waving out, and then you go to work, and what do you say to Hashem? Hashem, you stay here with my tefillin, I'm going to work, don't go with me because you're not going to like what I do there. You're a walking chilul Hashem. I don't care how long your beard is. I don't care if you have a kapata or a strimal or this, that, or the other. Or you're wearing a Tommy Hilfiger shirt, and everybody's like, wow, look at the Orthodox Jews. They also steal lion cheat. You're disgusting. You're a walking chilul Hashem. That's what the El Yerabba is saying. So yes, Divrei Torah, Talmud Torah Kened Kulam, but it comes with the Maisa. Imagine the person, right, where you can be doing what you think is Ratzon Hashem, and it's not Ratzon Hashem. I've pointed out this many times, and this is actually the last source, which I'll just skip to for a moment. And that is Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. We started with him. We kind of end with him, although we're not ending yet. because I can do whatever I want. And every day here in Eretz Yisrael, right, here in Eretz Yisrael, we say, Ein kelokeinu, Tanya, Debei Eliyahu, Koishana halachas, Mufsach l'shevein ablaba. If you learn halach every day, you're a bein olam haba. Says the pasuk in Habakkuk, don't read halichas olam, the ways of the world, Ela tikra halachas. Halichas halachas. See how we play with those words? Rosh Hashanah says, stop it. What are you doing? What are you playing with the words for? What does that mean? So Shlomo Zalman elaborates and says, if your Torah learning is not appropriate, meaning your halacha, you think Hashem cares how you tie your shoes in the morning? You know what? Not so much. But it's because every time I do something, God should be on my mind. Before I do anything, wait, is this Ratz on Hashem? This is what Hashem wants of me. He gives the example that everything is shalom. The last mission, Uksin. Lo matzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu machzik bracha l'Yisrael is shalom. Everything shalom. And the Yisod, he says, Chanukah's coming on. All of a sudden, Chanukah revolves around shalom. We have an inyun of shalom bias. What goes first? Really, Ner Chanukah should go first. No, Ner Shabbos goes first because it's shalom bias, so you'll be able to see in your house. Because the Yisod of how we walk isn't just laws, do this, this. They're commandments. And if you don't do them, whoopsh. No, they're not commandments. They're ways to get closer to God so that everything that I'm doing, I'm thinking about Hashem. Yes, I'm in the business world and I'm like, oh my God, is this what Hashem wants of me? Yes, and Rav Hartstein's famous words. What does it mean to be a Menuvel Berushus HaTaira? What does it mean when the great Rav Chanan Wasserman says, is this Ratzon HaBoira? You could actually be doing a mitzvah against Hashem. How can that be? I'm in the business world. I think, oh, this is a mitzvah. I'm going to give staka. I'll give 10%. I'll be machmir. Give 20% that I'm taking this money out of ill-gotten ways. That's not a mitzvah, what you just did. And then you go on the plane, and it's 3:30 in the morning. Binyamin just came back from the plane, and they go, Shachris, Shachris, no, no. And you're like, dude, I'm sleeping. I started a new minhag. I'm sorry to say this. This is terrible. I started wearing a hat on the plane. Not because of anti-Semitism, because of anti-Hasidishism, because I get woken up all the time. Mincha, mincha. I actually had this on my last flight. This really just happened. We had a long delay on the plane. So I had daven mincha early. I was able to chap a minyan at 12 o'clock, 12 whatever, and I daven mincha already. So it was a 2.5 hour delay. So I was in my seat. It was forced or something. I'd fallen asleep. Guy wakes me up. Mincha, mincha. I was wearing my hat. I'm like, I'm wearing a hat. I'm not Jewish. Whatever. Anyway, the funniest thing happened. We went to the flight attendant and we said to them, excuse me, is it okay? There was nothing going on the plane. They were just waiting there. People, you're allowed to get up. They said, can we daven, Meirev? This is, there's two Israelis on the, this is on United. And you understand why I don't fly Elal. So he said, yeah, sure, no problem. I'll even announce it. So we went to daven. He said, it would be easier. Why don't you daven? Because there's a lot of people in business class, obviously, that wanted to daven because they were all from there. And we had a minion there. We're davening. And he was Israeli, the flight attendant. He says, I'll tell you the funniest thing. In the back of the plane, this was at like 5:15. In the back of the plane, they're davening mincha. The Hasidim got up. It's like dark outside. They're davening mincha. It was very funny. So that's okay, I think. Now, is it okay to daven Shachris on a plane? Sometimes, maybe. In this plane, we asked the flight attendant. He said, yes, if you daven exactly 2 hours before, it's totally fine. Now, it happened to be that we forgot to tell him that it was Rosh Chodesh. And he said, oh, no yadati al musaf. Now, everything's not going to be working out. Please daven very quickly. But what happens when you daven? You guys know this. You're disturbing people. You're standing by the way. There's a nebuch. There's this old lady. She says, excuse me, I need to use the bathroom. No, no. They wouldn't let her through. That's a manuva for Shosatayra. You're stealing the bathroom time from her. It's not nice. I really gotta go. So, doesn't matter. Okay, no. Oh, that's why I have these. Right? That's what we're talking about here. You can't wear a yarmulke and act the way you are. You're supposed to be a different type of person. Now, as I told you, and I'll end with this, the worst type of individual, in my opinion, is somebody, right? Imagine I'm giving you the whole year business ethics classes, and I get arrested for violations of business. And you're like, oh my God, wait a minute, isn't that Rav Hartstein who taught us that? Right, that would be like, I wasted your whole year, right? I mean, it probably will happen, but I apologize in advance. No, I try to be very honest with my business deal. But if I was to get arrested, it would be like the funniest thing in the world. So now you have a guy going around giving shurim on a munah? If Moshe Rabbeinu Amunah are, I served in jail, and I did things that were wrong, and even though maybe most people wouldn't get arrested for it, and I did, they were wrong, and we have to be honest in business, because that's the ultimate form of Amunah. Wow! What a great shurim! I would go to that class! That's not what's happening here. And says the Hay Mikdover in source number 7 in our last source, ish, maybe? I gotta go? Why did Hashem Zachar Asher L'Shchal Amalek? Why do we have to remember always what Amalek did to us? Because Amalek came for the sin of Mishkalot. We were dishonest with our weights and measures. Rupela! Source number 7. Sha'arei! Lo haya midbar! How can it be? What were they doing in the midbar? What was so bad about this? So he explains the Gemara in Bava Basra. So Perek HaSvita, Ba'avon Mishkalot, how bad it is. It's Chomer Megili Arayos. So he says, why? He says, let me tell you why. When somebody steals something, or somebody doesn't just steal, right? Somebody, Nebuch, has an affair. Klei Yachar. Yachol Yo Sheba Mitzad HaTaiva. You know why I stole? You know why this person had an affair? You had a Taiva. New Nebuch, we have Taivas, we have Yetzaharas. But ultimately, I hope you wake up one day and say, oh my God, I just did something wrong. I'm a bad person. I shouldn't have done that wrong. That's what Tshuva is about. We just spoke about Tshuva. But somebody who's dishonest with his weights and measures, you know what he's saying? Because I thought about this before. I'm going to do bank for it and wire for it and all these things. You know why? I need more money. Why? Not for me to give to the Moistais. Not for me to give to the Chasson and Kal. Not for me to give to the Kailo. No! You are the ultimate lack of a Muda person. God decided how much money he's going to give you on Rosh Hashanah. And now you're going to outsmart him, get more money? No. That's the worst type of person. You can't go around talking about a Muda if you're not honest in business. Or you were dishonest in business to do tshuva about it. And don't talk about doing tshuva about it. And that's what the Rambam here says in source number 8. Asur liadam ligalol chalkos upati. Your person can't be dishonest. V'lo yiyah echad bapev echad balev. Esav's head is buried in Marsav Echpele because he was echad bapev echad balev. He was a faker. V'toycha kabaro. You have to be consistent and honest. And think about shilas that you might have in business and say, I got to call a rabbi. I'm sorry, I can't sell this contract right now. Give me a second. That's the ultimate. That's the ultimate. Now this is the one that's going on Y-Tar. The ultimate. Just for those that are listening, the Rosh Hashiva told me to keep it down. Okay, so that's what the Rambam says. B'chaver she'etzol, a person can't fake it. That's, you sold a business as a Muda. I know, I saw some of you looking at it. I'll just use the Shane and Todd. I've used this before. This is really from a website. This is a real thing. I actually have the original one here. This is a website of apparently fancy clothes from England. Ugh, this is terrible. It says, returns originating from the following areas will be eligible for store credit or exchange only. You can't get money back and a $5 restocking fee. Here are the name of those areas. Brooklyn, Muncie, Lakewood, Passaic, and Monroe. What is similar about all these places? I'll tell you what was happening. So now there were posts going online. This happened a few years ago. This anti-Semites from this website. And they were like, whoa, anti-Semites. The weirdest thing is happening. All these people are coming into our store in September and buying all these clothes for their children for school. And in December, everybody's returning it because of our 90-day policy. Why? Because the season has ended and now they want their winter clothes. Do you see the names of these locations, Rabbi Sai? Ain't Chil Hashem Godel Mizu. That's not anti-Semitism. It's a fact.
Yeah.
So when you dress a certain way, you represent something. You represent, I'm sorry, too bad for you. You can't be a certain type of person, you have to be extra careful. That's what the Yesod is. And to me, this is something that should come out. More people should, there should be all over Y.U. Torah. And don't look for the kuntzim and say, well, technically, and da-da. Yes, there was a travesty of justice. Yes, when he came out of jail, there should have been a simcha and a goyimel she'in kamoyu. Yes, I get it. But publicly, so that people think that you don't think he did anything wrong, that's what it looks like to everyone when you're out dancing at 2 o'clock in the morning. B'sheket. B'shalva. Be happy with it. It's very, very sad. To me, this is the yesod of all business, is the emunah that a person should have. Mirzah Hashem, we should take this with us, and that mamish will rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. Kiddush Hashem is what rebuilds the Beis HaMikdash, because when there is no Beis HaMikdash, we call it a chil Hashem. A chil Hashem is a halal, an opening. An opening means God's presence. We can't see it as much as it should be. So we try to infuse upon it more Hashem in this world by doing good things. And people are like, wow, those are the Jewish people. Mika Amcho Yisrael. Amazing. And if we do that in Mirtz Hashem, we will be the base of Mikdash. May he reveal me. Amen.